Romans 8:35, the blessing of eternal security. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful subject. I've been blessed all day thinking about what an opportunity to be able to come and to the pulpit and share these wonderful principles. And Lord, to shore up our assurance, to shore up through the scriptures, our security. And I would pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. Help us, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that you've made it this way. And to thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for making it such that we don't spend every day of our life on trial to see whether or not we stay saved or not. Lord, just thank you for giving us that wonderful gift. What a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The blessing of eternal security. The blessing of eternal security. I'm just kind of going through and picking out some things in the Bible that I think we ought to stop and say, what a blessing. What a blessing that we have this. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this matter of eternal security. Let me present something to you that probably you ought to be aware of in working with people. This is kind of our core group. Many of you serve in different capacities here around the church. If you'll become aware of this, it'll help you in dealing with people and helping people. Let me just tell you a fact. In this day, in this age, with all the craziness going on, most people are insecure. That's just a fact of life. I don't mean most lost people. I mean most saved people and most lost people. They battle insecurity. Now, the honest truth is, some of you are saying, preacher, I know, I'll be honest with you, I'm one of them. Well, we're all one of them. Every one of us at some time battle in some measure this in our life, some more than others. Now, one of the things that you need to be aware of is that that's just a fact. People need assurances. People need kindness in this day and age. People need to be reminded that they're cared for and that God loves them because we live in a time of insecurity. I believe part of that reason is because of the destruction of the home. You know, most of these kids that we're bringing in our buses, folks, they come from a situation where they just do not have much security. I mean, literally, there's kids that walk in here that don't know, and they got it in the back of their mind, am I going to still be living in the same house at the end of this week that I'm living at the beginning of this week? Am I still going to have mom and dad under the same roof? Are we going to have enough food this week again? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? There's just a lot of insecurity. Parents, love your kids. Listen, there's something about a loving Christian home that instills a sense of security. And give that gift to your children. Give that gift to their children. They shouldn't wake up every day of their life wondering, okay, as I walk in there, I wonder if mom's going to love me or yell at me today. I wonder if she's going to be in a good mood or a bad mood. I wonder if I need to walk on eggs. I wonder if dad's going to yell at me or whether he's going to be kind to me today. Are you listening to me? I mean, we ought to help build a security in our children, that there is a safety in our home. And that there's love in our home. And that we're going to be here. And we're a family. And to give them that kind of a thing. I have to deal with a lot of situations. I think one of the most heartbreaking things that I see is the toll that's being taken on young people because of this crazy situation that we've got in our culture today. And it does take a toll on them. And there's folks right here. I mean, I'm not picking at you. I hurt for you. But you know, the honest truth is we have adults that still battle insecurity issues because of some things that have happened in their childhood. And so remember that. Husbands, let me just share this with you. It's just a fact of life. Most women are insecure. They need assurances. They need you to verbalize your care for them, your love for them, and your commitment to them. They need that more than you probably have any understanding of, and so do that for them. But ladies, let me just say this. You know that big tough guy you married? He's sometimes insecure too. And it's just a wonderful thing. I said all this to say this. God has presented a wonderful example in the Scriptures in giving us time and time and time and place and place and place that we can go and say, look at that, God loves me. Look at that, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look at that, who can separate us from the love of God? And I don't care how mixed up or messed up of a situation on this earth you've been raised. Let me say this, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a heavenly Father that you can count on. Preacher, I felt like my whole life, I don't know if there's been one person in my life I could really count on. Well, if you're saved, you've got somebody now. You've got God the Father who loves you. You've got the Holy Spirit of God that's taken up residence inside of you. And contrary to the false doctrine that's being taught in some churches, He doesn't leave and go and leave and go and leave and go, depending on whether or not you were good enough to keep Him that day. And I think one of the things that's so appalling about the doctrine of losing your salvation, the attacks that some church put on eternal security, is this picture they put in the minds of people of God. I've often said this. Can you imagine what kind of condition my daughters would be in as adults if every single day they walked in, they got up in every morning, they walked to the breakfast table, and I looked at them and I said, let me tell you something. You're my daughter now, but you might not be by the end of today. I just want to let you know that. You remember that. You may not be in this family by the end of the day. And they grew up with that day after day after day after day of their life. You know what? They'd probably be a mess right now, brother. And yet there's people that come to the pulpit and try to portray God as being that type of a father. He's not that type of a father. He does just the opposite. He constantly assures them. You know, your children need assurances. Your children need security. Your children need to know that you're there for them. Oh, preacher, they're getting that age. I don't even think they want us around. Well, you'd be shocked. Just get a little ways away from them. You'll find out real quick that, yeah, they do. And you know what? They need to know that you're there. They need to have the stability of a solid home and a love and seeing parents in love with each other and seeing parents share assurances of each other's love and commitment, long-term commitment. And that's the kind of God we have. Whether or not, whatever situation you were raised in, or whatever situation you may be in now, let me just tell you this. God comes to us constantly trying to shore up, I think, what sin has done in our life, brought with an insecurity, and He wants us to know that, you know what, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. Now, I'm going to answer this question tonight, and then we're just going to stop every once in a while and just praise the Lord, okay? We're just going to count our blessings. This is a good thing. Preacher, what would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? Now, there's some people out there that say that I could lose it. What would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? Well, I'm going to give you several things, all right? Here's the number one. 26 promises of eternal life and 10 promises of everlasting life would have to be ripped from the pages of the Bible in order for me to lose my salvation. 26 direct promises that I have now eternal life, 10 direct promises of everlasting life would have to be ripped from the pages of the Bible. This is one of the best answers and one of the best assurances that we have. John 3:15 that precedes verse 16, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I like that, eternal life, everlasting life. That begins not after you die. That begins the moment you get saved. You now have everlasting life. Now that means from this point on, everlasting. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. He didn't say I will give, He said I gave it to them already. How about Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord. We use that in our soul winning presentation, and we say, God's offering you a gift. And you, if you pray and put your faith and trust in Christ, you can receive now the gift of eternal life. Now you get it. It's not a gift that's waiting in heaven if you make it. If you stay saved long enough, you now have it. How about Titus chapter 3? You all don't sound very excited about that. You know, maybe I should talk to God and say, "Hey, boy, I tell you what, I know you gave us all this stuff, but folks just really don't care much because, you know, they're fine, I guess. Anyway, come on now. Count your blessings." Titus chapter 3, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I like 1 John chapter 5. "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life." What kind of life? Eternal life. "And he that hath not the Son hath not life." What kind of life? Eternal life. "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have it. Yep. Eternal life. And that ye may believe on the Son of God. Now, folks, this is a blessing to me. I don't wake up every day and say, "I'll tell you what, I'm walking on eggs and I hope I don't mess up. And man, if I hit my finger with a hammer, I could be going to hell." Depending on what comes out of my mouth in the next few seconds. And Lord, please, no, Jesus gives us a security. And so he gives us these eternal life, everlasting life verses. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." How about John 5:24? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Okay, so you see the truth there. You have or hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. Now, how does that square up with this idea that you can have eternal life and then you lose eternal life? You can have salvation, you can lose salvation. John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Say, "Preacher, you're saying that we have eternal life, everlasting life, but what are you saying, that we're not going to die?" Come on, everybody dies. You know, it's interesting that when you read the New Testament, God seldom calls death for a Christian death. He's simply said, listen, Stephen standing there, and he's dying a horrific death. I mean, one of the most horrible ways a person can die. And the Bible says that God pulls back the scrolls of heaven. You're talking about dying testimonies of the saved. Man, there's one right there. And he confesses and testifies that Jesus now is standing on the right hand of the Father, waiting to receive him. And you know what? The Bible says that in that terrible situation, the Bible describes his death as this, that he fell asleep. And I'm going to tell you something. I personally have experienced great comfort with that thought. Sometimes we watch our saved loved ones, and sometimes, folks, the death, it can be tough, it can be hard, it can be horrific. But I really believe that at some point, I don't know how this all works, I'm not sure where the transition is, but I just have a sense that at some point God comes and surrounds a person and gives them dying grace. And just kind of puts them in a little protective cocoon, and all of a sudden what's happening in their physical bodies is no longer of any importance. I mean, they're rocking him. They are stoning him. And he's looking up and testifying about seeing Jesus. And then the Bible says that he fell asleep. He fell. What a sweet thing. You know why that was happening? You know why it happened that way? Because when Stephen got saved, God gave him eternal life. 26 promises of eternal life, 10 promises of everlasting life. If you don't believe, if you think you can lose your salvation, find them verses, rip it out. By the way, you're going to have to rip out John 3:16. Of all verses, John 3:16 has to be ripped from the pages of the Bible if you're going to believe that you can lose your salvation. Number two, what would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? Number two, we would have to rip out all the, I call them the never verses. Never verses. Jesus said in John 4:14, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." How about John 6:35? Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John 10:38, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How about John 11:25? Jesus said unto them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. Now, somebody that says, okay, I'm going to show you the plan of salvation. And I just wish these rascals, if they really believe that you can lose their salvation, that ought to be part of their salvation presentation. That ought to be right. And if they got to take a jog off the Romans road and go and tell a person, I'm going to show you what the Bible says that you need to do to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to show you also your responsibilities. We're going to get to that in just a minute. You see, folks, the problem is with this, is this so-called salvation that they are preaching is another gospel. Because a salvation that you can lose would be a salvation based on your works and not on God's mercy and God's grace. We'll get to that in just a minute. How about Matthew chapter 7? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. By the way, here's another never that I want you to think about. Then will I profess unto them. Now this is a person that comes who has a testimony. Some would say, well, at one time they were saved. See, they did these things, but they must have messed up at the end somewhere. But notice what he says in Matthew 7:23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Never knew you. They were going back and say, hey, Lord, remember when I was saved? Remember when you were my Lord and I prophesied and I cast out devils and did all them wonderful works? People come to that and they want to prove that you can lose your salvation. The problem is there's one of those little never words right there. And Jesus didn't say, yeah, I remember that. From 71 to 74 you were saved, then from 76 to 78 you weren't, and then you got saved again in 79. So I knew you from 71 to 74, and then I didn't know you from 74 to 76, and then I knew you from 76 to 84, and then I never knew. No, he said, I never knew you. He said, I never knew you. Which means this person was religious, and they were trusting in their religious activities in order to get them to heaven. So we've got a lot of the Bible to rip out. Let's not do that. Let's just say, thank God for eternal security. Thank God that when God says, I have everlasting life, it starts from the moment I got saved and it never ends. When he says, I have eternal life, I have it now. It starts now, the day I get saved, it never ends. And you know what? He gives me the assurances. Aren't you glad? It's like a daddy. Maybe the daughter's upset. Maybe she's had a bad dream. Or maybe she's just going through a time of insecurity. And a daddy, many of you have done it, set your little daughter on your lap and say, listen to me. Your mama always loves you. And your daddy will always love you. And we're always going to be here for you. And you don't have to be afraid. That's my God. That's the kind of God I have. I feel like tonight what he's done is he's putting us up on his lap and he's saying, let me remind you something. I've given you everlasting life. I've given you eternal life. You know what? You will never be hungry again. You'll never thirst again. You'll never perish. You'll never die. And you know what? The ones that will not be in heaven will not be there because I never knew them. Not because I forsook them or turned my back on them or because I took from them back the gift of eternal life. Number three, what would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? God would have to become a liar. Yeah. I feel pretty secure now. Let God be true and every man a liar. If God has to lie, Brother Rise, let me have you slip around and hit the air on. I don't think I've turned the air on, although I kind of like it. You know, I'm getting into this. I'm building up a sweat. So, preacher always feels a little better when he's building up a little bit of a sweat there. So, can I get whoever's in the tape room? Let's get these fans moving around a little bit here. There we go. All right, good, good. God would have to be a liar. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, Titus 1:1-2, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. How about 1 John 2:25? And this is the promise that he hath promised us. Even eternal life. This is the promise that he, that's God, hath promised us, even eternal life. I'm feeling pretty good about that. Oh, I don't feel good about me a lot of days. I know I fall way short. I know I fail miserably. I thank God my faith and trust isn't in what I can do. Thank God for that. I'm glad that I don't have to trust me. That wouldn't work out so well. But when God says, listen, I promise you this, eternal life. I like John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. I call these the shall be verses. God says, I'm going to make you a promise. There's the door. If you enter in, ye shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Sounds like once you enter that door, you're pretty good situation. Sounds like now you've become one of his sheep. How about Romans 5:9? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Shall be. We look at Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many of us soul winners have put our finger right underneath those two words and said to somebody, you know what? God doesn't say you might be. He said you shall be saved. And give them the assurance of that. So God would have to break promises. God would have to turn a shall be into a might be. God would have to say, I know I said if you went through that door you'd be okay, but I changed my mind. And God's not a liar. You know what? I think it's important for all of us to try to tell the truth and keep our word. But we kind of need a revival of that in America today. I remember my daddy talking about my grandpa. And you know what? There wasn't signed contracts back in my grandpa's day. There was two men that would look at each other and come to an agreement and stick out a hand and shake your hand. And you know what? They understood that their entire reputation was at risk the moment they made another man a promise. And as much as I would try to keep my promises and try to keep my word, the honest truth is there may be circumstances that come up out of my control, or there may just be the frailty of a faulty human memory, or sometimes just the utter failure of my human weakness. Much as I would want to keep a promise to you, I could not tell you that I will never fail to keep a promise that I make. And nobody here will make that claim. But let me tell you something. When God promises you something, you can count on it. It's going to happen. And so God would have to become a liar for me to lose my salvation. How about this one? Number four. I like this one. I wrestled around on how to word this, so here's the best I can do. Number four, I would have to be unborn again. There you go. Amen. You'd have to be unborn again. Now, when you got saved, were you born again? So if you lose your salvation, you have to be? Doesn't that feel good just saying that? Just say it with me. Unborn again. Yeah, I know. It's a new word. John 3, of course, the famous John chapter 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the capital S spirit is small s spirit. The Holy Spirit upon salvation comes in and rebirths, gives rebirth, regenerates, brings to life that spirit, that dead spirit. Are you getting this? Are you letting it sink in? Now, please tell me, what's the reverse of that? Go down that road if you want to go. So the Holy Spirit enters in and he rebirths your dead spirit. So now he's going to leave, according to them, and you're going to lose salvation. So does he strangle that reborn spirit back to death on his way out? You know, folks, in order to try to defend this false doctrine, you get into the ridiculous. Because if the Holy Spirit, if salvation is a new birth, then every time you would lose your salvation, there would have to be a reoccurrence of a death. That spirit would have to be again, would again be dead. Well, the spirit gave it life. Who's going to kill it? Well, think about that. I would have to be unborn again. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me tell you what salvation is. Salvation is being born into the family of God. And you know what? The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So God, upon your salvation, births you into his family. Now, I was born to Robert and Donna Ross. And you know what? I'm sure there were times that they were tempted to disown me. And I know for a fact that there was times that, you know what, I disappointed them and maybe even brought shame to the family name. But you know what? Never one time did I do anything that caused my parents to say, you're no longer a Ross. A Folks, when you get born, you're in the family of God, and you know what? That's never going to change. Now, we ought to be good kids. We ought to be good children. And we ought to try to bring glory and honor to the name of our Heavenly Father. But you know what? You're always going to be His child. You may be an obedient child. You may be a disobedient child, but you're always going to be His child. You may be a child in His will, or you may be a child outside of His will, but you're always going to be in His will. And remember this, folks. A lot of times when people see a Christian backslide, you know, they're tempted to go into false doctrine. Well, they lost their salvation. Oh, my goodness sakes. I can take you to plenty of Christians, people that we know based on the testimony of Scripture that were children of God that didn't always act like children of God. Okay, there's plenty of evidence in the Scripture that shows us that children of God can go through periods and times of their life where they look anything but saved. Amen? Some of you, if you were transparent enough, were given the opportunity to give testimony to that. Say, preacher, it's not that I lost my salvation. I just lost my mind for a while. And I got out of the will of God, and I did some things I shouldn't have done. But you know what? During that process, I promise you, you knew that there was a Heavenly Father that was wooing you back to Him. And isn't that good? Isn't that precious? If you have to be born again, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Once you're born again, I guess if you're not allowed to go, you'd have to be unborn again. And it doesn't make no sense. Number five, what would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? The Holy Spirit would have to go to hell with me. Ah, this is a good one. Yeah, I like this. Matter of fact, let me have you go over there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll get you moving in your Bibles a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 19. You say, what? Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling pretty secure, folks. I'm feeling pretty secure. You say, preacher, you're pretty... I don't know, you seem pretty arrogant about it. I'm not arrogant about it. I thank God that I have a God that's given me verses that tell me that this is something that's in His hands and something I don't have to worry about. Well, preacher, are you telling me you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? You don't know what you're going to do the rest of your life, but I do know this. I know there's 26 verses that tell me I have eternal life and 10 of them that tell me I have everlasting life. I know that there's a bunch of never verses that I'd have to take out of the Bible. I know that God's not going to be a liar. I know it's impossible to be unborn again. And I know this. If God decides He's going to change His mind and send me to the hell, He's going to send a member of the triune God with me. Well, that's pretty bold. Well, let's look at it. Did I tell you 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm there in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look, if you will, in verse number 19. I want this to give you good assurance. I think this is one of the problems why we have so much insecurity even amongst some Christians. They just haven't nailed down an assurance of their salvation and understand that God eternally has secured them. They're accepted in the Beloved. Thank God for that. But in verse number 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. And all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. I like that. He said, this isn't a nay, yea gospel we're preaching. And that's what they're preaching. It's not a nay, yea gospel. He said, you know what? What we were preaching to you is yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also what? Sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. For not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. By faith you stand. Now notice this. Who hath also sealed us and given us the what? Earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Most of you understand the concept of earnest money. Let's say that you want to buy something. You don't have the ability to make full payment so that you can take full possession. So you leave some earnest money on it. And so you say, I'll tell you what. You want $500 for this? I'll give you $50. And if you'll give me a week, I'll come back and give you the rest. And if I don't come back in a week, you keep the 50 and you lose the earnest. You lose the what? You lose the what? You lose it. You lose it. Now here's an exciting thing. Listen, when the Spirit of God came, there's so many things the Holy Spirit came into us and so many things He does with for us. But when He came inside of Jerry Ross, when I was just a little boy, under conviction of sin, and by faith prayed, put my trust in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for my salvation. The Holy Spirit of God came in and He brought to life that part that died in man, clear back, we could trace it back to the Garden of Eden. He brought that to life. And then you know what? He became the earnest that God has put down on me until He can take full possession. Okay, now if He reneges on the deal, He loses the earnest money. He decides to get to heaven and say, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know about you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make an exception. You're going to hell. Then the Holy Spirit would have to say, bye, Father. Bye, Father. Well, what are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to get some of you that wrestle with some insecurity to settle some things in your heart. God loves you. And when God saved you, He saved you eternally. He saved you. And so the fact that I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God gives me a lot of assurances here. I'm sealed by the Spirit. He is the earnest of my salvation. He's in my heart. You know what? There's no way in the world that God's going to separate the triune God in order to break a promise and go against Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit, wow, would have to go to hell with me. How about this? Number six, man would have to become stronger than Jesus and God the Father. Because of time, let me read this. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's the eternal life. There's the never verse. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, some of you young men, ran into a guy this week. Younger guy, probably early 20s. I walked up to him. He had a real tight polo shirt on. He's a weightlifter guy, man. Shook my hand, about crushed it, you know. But if you're a guy, you can't show that you're in pain, you know. You just got to kind of do the best you can to hold on until the guy lets you out of the vice, you know. There's some strong guys around here. There's some strong guys. But I guarantee you, if you put something in Jesus Christ's hand, and He closes it, and God the Father puts it over His hand, there ain't none of you strong enough to open that up. None of us is stronger than God. And I love that beautiful picture that this portion of Scripture paints for us. Literally, God, when we are saved, places us in the hand of Jesus Christ. No, what better place can we be than in the hand of Christ? And then God the Father takes His hand and puts it over Christ's hand, and He says, okay, now what man... By the way, including you, is going to be strong enough to open that up and take you out of my possession. And I'm feeling pretty secure. I'm feeling pretty good about this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now look up here and let me deal with some real issues here, because I'm trying to give you some assurances. But folks, let me tell you why so many people struggle with this idea of am I really saved? Am I truly saved? Assurance of salvation, security and salvation. Paul addresses it here in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Now there's three elements here. For I know whom I have believed. That's number one. Number two, and am persuaded that He is able. Number three, to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now, if you're struggling with assurance of salvation or the eternal security issue, one of three things need to happen in your life. Number one, do you know who you have believed in? Because Paul said this, I know that I'm saved. I can go back. I know whom I put my faith and trust in. Sometimes people struggle with assurance because, you know what? They've never truly been saved. You ever been in one of those times where you're having doubts and you're thinking, is this God trying to convict me because I'm not saved? Or is this the devil trying to make me doubt and I am saved? And sometimes that's a struggle. So one of the things you've got to settle is, have you been saved? Do you know who you have believed in? You say, preacher, listen, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I settled that. I can look back at a time. I know the elements were there. By the way, don't worry about all this. Folks, don't listen, we all have a faulty human memory. Sometimes people are so worried. Well, I don't remember the exact words that I said. What if I didn't say the right words? And how about this prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that man went home justified. How about this? Remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Well, I wonder if he said all the right words. I think he did, all right, because wasn't it Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise? We get so caught up on the words. You know, if you look at the scriptural examination, I've taught this and I try to review it to our people. But there's certain elements. There's certain things that lead up to salvation. Salvation is not five steps, but there's certain things that have to happen in a person's life for them to be saved. And number one, they have to come under Holy Ghost conviction of sin. Somebody struggling with presbytery, it's been so long ago, and I always say, listen, when you look back at the day you were saved, do you remember being under conviction of sin? Oh, yeah. Do you remember being drawn by the Father? You felt God drawing you to himself. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Okay, did you understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again? Yes. Did you pray? Well, I don't know exactly. Did you pray and did you call out and by faith ask Jesus Christ to save you? Well, yeah. I'm not sure of everything I said with it was not. And you know what I say? Tell the devil to go back where he came from. Okay, what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to get you trapped into that little thing where you're so worried about your own salvation that you're not worried about everybody else's salvation around you. And so get that thing settled. He said this, I know whom I have believed in. Now here's the second thing. And am persuaded that he is able. And am persuaded that he is able. Now here's the next question. You know who you believed in. Do you think God is able? Is he able to keep? Is he able to keep? I kind of think he is. I can't find a force in the universe that's stronger than God. I can't find a force in the universe. I mean, the devil's a liar, but God tells the truth. And if he's promised based on these things, God is able. And so I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have. And you know what? Here's a lot of it. We just need to come to God and say, God, I'm going to stop worrying about this because you know what? This isn't my responsibility. You're the one that I'm supposed to commit the keeping of my soul to. So I'm not going to live every day of my life trying to keep myself. I'm going to commit that job to the one whose job it is. Now, I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. You know what? I went through in my young years, I went through a little bits of doubts and struggles and am I really saved? And you know what? I just gave you the verse that helped me to settle that thing and leave it in the hands of God, and I haven't looked back since. Yes, preacher, did you get saved? Do you know who you believed in? I do. Do you believe he's able? Yes. Have you committed the keeping of your soul to him? Yes. You do that, you know what? You can lay your head on your pillow at night. You don't have to worry about anything. It's settled. God's got it all under control there. So man would have to become stronger than God. Listen, commit the keeping of your soul to God. Let me give you the last thing. Number seven, salvation would be based on man's work and not on God's mercy if I could lose my salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No boasting in heaven. Well, I believe, yeah, he that endureth the end shall be saved. I believe, yes, we're saved by grace, but we have to live a certain way. Or you know what? You'd have a bunch of people up in heaven saying, I did it. Yeah. I did it. Yeah. I know some friends that didn't, but I did. I did it. You'd be boasting. Yeah. It's all God. It's not us. Amen. It's all God. It's not us. How about Romans 11:6? I like this. This whole thing about, well, we believe in salvation by grace, but then you have to, listen, folks, grace and works like water and oil, you can't mix them. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. And you know what the Bible's saying? It's saying, listen, you can't say, I'm saved by grace and I keep it by works, because that's not what the Bible says. It's either all grace or it's all works. Pick which one you're going to do. But you know what? At the judgment seat of the saved, of the saints of God, the Bema seat, you know what? Everyone there will be there because of grace. And at the great white throne judgment, they'll be judged according to their... And so I'd just pick grace if I was you. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. All grace, everything grace. And I just stay focused on that. And so what I thought we'd do tonight is just count our blessings, the blessing of eternal security. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord. If there's someone here, Lord, that just needs to make the step that I made years ago, Lord, not the step of salvation. If someone that needs to be saved, of course, we'd want them to be saved, God. But the day that they come to after salvation, where they just put the devil on the run by saying, you know what, I'm going to commit the keeping of my soul to God. I'm going to stop letting the devil torment me about this in this area of my life. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What a happy day, Lord. What a happy day. When I decided, you know what, it's not about what I do or don't do, what I say or don't say, but it's about what he's promised to do. It's about who he is. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless even now, bring comfort. Lord, I pray for those that, Lord, do battle. I mean, I struck a chord, I could tell I did. Yes, there's folks in the church that battle this matter of insecurity. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be like the world and play on the insecurities of others. Lord, I pray that we'd have a Holy Spirit sensitivity about us to see if when there's somebody that's maybe insecure in a little area of their life, instead of just working on that area, hurting them in that area, may we shore them up. May we give them some assurances. That's what you do for us. And Lord, it was a wonderful thing for me to come to the pulpit tonight and say, let me tell you what your Father says. Let me remind you how much he loves you. Let me show you some of his promises. Child of God, you can rest assured that you are safely protected in the hands of God. Bless, Lord, this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.